सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतं गमय ॐ शान्तिः 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 तत्सवितुर्वर्मरूपं ज्योतिः पारस्य धीमहि यन्न सत्येन दीपयेत्.
We're finishing our work in this little book, Essays, Divine and Human, tonight. The section that we're closing with is about the integral yoga. And there are three subsections in it, the one about integrality, the second about supramental yoga, and the third about the yoga of transformation. So let's start with integrality. It means that we have to experience reality wholly. Completely. And what is reality but perfect being, perfect consciousness, and perfect bliss? We think, when we conceive of such a thing, that that must belong to God, far, far away in some transcendent heaven. But if God is the only reality, if the divine is all that is, then anything that manifests that divinity must have that same completeness, that same supreme perfection in it. And so this universe that we live in is implicitly divine. The Godhead is hidden in all of it. It's hidden in all the many layers of the universe. It's hidden in the physicality of the universe. It's hidden in the vitality. It's hidden in the emerging mentality. Everything conceals the divine. Now, what happens when we practice yogas is that we generally fasten upon one aspect of ourselves, which corresponds to an aspect of the universe, of nature. And we make that the plank by which we ascend into reunion with that perfect being. So if we're of a very active nature, we use karma yoga, the yoga of works, where we renounce personal satisfaction in what we do and offer all to the divine, and we become more and more one with the will of God, and we ascend in a sense into his being. That would be the path of action. Then there's the path of love, in which we ascend by the beatitudes of the heart. We come to love God, to see God in more and more things, and to wish to be possessed only by that. We drop away our personal satisfactions in the world, and we cleave only to the call of that flute, which calls us ever upwards to greater and greater kinds of union and communion, and we wind up in a perfect bliss, lying in the arms of God in some heaven above. And that's the path of the heart. And then there's, of course, the path of the mind, which wants to cut through all the nonsense, all the appearances, and arrive at the truth behind, to find out what really is there, what really is here, and that the here and the there can become one, that the individual is really the same as the greater being in the cosmos and beyond the cosmos and the transcendent, whatever that is. And that's the way of the mind, which wants to discriminate and get behind. So these three ways are generally how we grow, because we know, we feel, and we do. And that pretty much sums us up. So these are the avenues by which yogas have fastened, as I say, upon one or the other aspect. The integral yoga is not going to be satisfied with any one aspect. The integral yoga says we have to have it all. If the divine has invested itself completely in this world, if it has become this world while being above, while remaining transcendent, and then stands, pardon me, at the center of every individual, because we also are part of that, then why can't we have an experience akin to God's, where we know the truth of divinity in the body? Why can't we waken the body to an experience of that divinity? Why can't we enliven our lives with something more than the life stuff that we know now? Why can't we experience ourselves as immortal beings? Why can't we draw on universal life forces to extend the range of our powers and experiences? And why can't we get beyond the realm of the mind? Why is that lid there that blocks us from a greater view of things? We have to have all of that. And that is the integrality that Sri Aurobindo is speaking about when he talks about a yoga that completes the circle. It is supposed to be all-encompassing, occurring all at once. Your mind lit up with the awareness of the divine, your heart lifted into that communion with the divine, your body acting out in perfect surrender the will of the divine as it courses through you. Now, this is not an easy thing to do, but this is the goal of the integral yoga, and nothing less than that would be integral. Yes, it's a big achievement to get any part of the being to be aware constantly of the divine. That's a big achievement. But we're looking for a bigger achievement, because look at the world. However many saints and sages we have had, the world continues to blunder along. It's just not doing very well. And the only way it's going to do better is if its inhabitants, humanity, leading the march for all of life on earth, become more illumined, themselves become a source of harmony and of completeness rather than of division and mutual treachery. So that is why integrality is so key to the practice of this kind of yoga. Purna yoga, the full yoga, the yoga of fullness. The second point that he made was about the supramental yoga. The supermind is not like the mind. You can become aware of the reality of God, of the self, of Brahman, at any level of your nature. You can peek into that. You can have an experience of it through the mind's silencing, through the heart's upliftment, through the body's complete surrender to that. But your experience of it is limited by the nature of the vehicle through which you experience it. So if the body or the life or the mind is chosen and they're imperfect instruments, then your experience of the divine is not complete. It's indicative, it's essentially right, but it is not, again, the total thing. To have the total thing, you have to get back to the consciousness of God itself, which means you have to exceed this whole triple formula apparent in the universe. Discovering God in the body, or in the life, or in the mind won't be enough. You've got to vault beyond the mind into what consciousness Sri Aurobindo called supramental. That means beyond the mind. There stands an awareness which is one with being, profoundly germinating within itself all possibilities which it casts out into intricate, sophisticated, yet ultimately harmonious order. This is the multitudinous oneness of the divine's consciousness. That is what Sri Aurobindo calls the supermind. It's how God thinks about himself. When God decides, oh, I'm here, then it is the supermind that conceives that. And what he conceives casts the infinity that he is into marshaled, phalanxed order. So it is beautiful in its expression. The world that we have here, mind, life, and matter, is in a way a derivation of that supramental reality. It may have that supramental reality contained in it, but it is not apparent because we have to evolve, don't we, slowly. And we only evolve from the soul upwards, by the way. It is the soul experiencing the body that grows. It's the soul experiencing the life that grows. It's the soul experiencing the mind that grows. And as it grows, this soul, it grows upwards to a point where it can say, look, I've experienced God in all these many ways, but it's not the whole truth. I'm going to have to press forward and find a new instrument by which to express what I feel innately within myself. And that's when the soul says, I've got to push into this supramental region. This is what Sri Aurobindo began to do. Can't say that it has never been tried before, but there's no record of it if there was an attempt. It looks like the Vedic rishis 7,000 years ago or so, the Upanishadic seers a few thousand years ago, knew what this range of conscious being was that Sri Aurobindo calls the supermind, but had no idea of bringing it down to earth. So difficult a challenge would it be. Why is it difficult? Because it means that we have to give ourselves up completely to it. We have to be willing to let go the old and leap without a care or a thought for our safety into the future. Can you hang in the air suspended waiting for this thing to come into you? Are you willing to bet your life on it? Because only if you are can you undergo such a profound change. We're used to living in the body. We're used to its dullness and obscurity. We're used to living in the small provinces of our heart, you know. If we ever experience the universal wideness, oh, it almost knocks us down. Same thing is true with the mind. So to become fully open to that supramental light, to become receptive to it, is a yoga all by itself. And you can't even start that yoga until you have found your inner being and your soul. This leads us to the third section, that is the transformation by yoga of this nature. Because to have an inner experience of something doesn't mean that you've made it dynamically true in your life. Here's the secret of the sages all through the centuries, made clear in the Gita, that thick and tangled is the way of works. And even the best who live in awareness of the divine cannot act perfectly in the world because things are obscured. We move through a mayic veil of illusion, which distorts what we see. So we have to change our consciousness into the original divine consciousness to escape that imperfection, to escape that ignorance. As long as our primary instruments are fashioned out of elements which don't know their own real nature, then we're subject to that ignorance. Remember, ignorance from the sense ignore. When you ignore your real self, then you're ignorant. So when the body doesn't know it's divine, it's ignorant. When the life thinks it's going to die, it's ignorant. When the mind thinks it's smart and everybody else is dumb, it's ignorant. Okay? The supermind consciousness is all knowledge, all love, all power. So what we have to do is slowly bring it down into ourselves. We can't bring it down into ourselves, however, until we've done several things first. Find the soul inside. That might be the work of years by itself, just to push in beyond the emotions into the center of the nature and find that regent who really controls all inside. And then to bring the power of the soul into our mind, and instead of living with our outer mind engrossed in external things, live with the power and wideness of the inner mind. That is there. And then the same thing is true of our vital nature, to live not from the externalities of our passions and our satisfactions out here, but the broad self-giving, the generosity, the bravery, the courage, which are native to the inner heart. The willingness to sacrifice oneself, to give it up for another. And the sense of our inner physical, unlike the body which is dulled and obscured with time, it loses its capacity even to sense the world as the ages go by. To live more in the subtle physical, the inner physical, where you're always fresh and you're always young and you breathe that into the outer shell, trying to sustain and form that. When you're able to know all this inner machinery and link it to the soul and then spiritualize it and find the wider self all around and bring that wideness into this now growing perfection in the machinery and the soul's interface with nature, then you're beginning to approach practicing the supramental yoga and transforming the body, finding that supramental sun above and finding it hidden in the nature below, because it's buried in the earth, and it's when the pressure from above strikes upon the hidden supermind sleeping in matter below that they awaken and they marry, they come together into a grand fusion, and we can then announce that the hour has come when the life divine will take the earth. That's what we're looking for, is to make this life here in matter as perfect as it is in the transcendence of God's experience of himself. God has to come down here, but for that to happen, for that grace to occur, we have to be ready. We have to be surrendered. Remember last week when we were talking and we noted that surrender is the core of the practice of bhakti yoga, the yoga of love and devotion. Surrender is also the core of the yoga of works. And even in the mind, it's only when the mind gives up its sense of being the smartest guy on the block and is willing to surrender itself to a greater light that we get the full illumination. Surrender is ultimately the key to the practice of yoga. And so our secret strength is, can we give ourselves? So that is what I would have to say about this section that concludes our work in Essays, Divine and Human. And next week, we begin with some preparatory comments, should I say prefatory comments, about Essays on the Gita, one of Sri Aurobindo's masterworks, and the first of his serialized writings from the Arya to be published as a book. So we start that. Who knows how long we will be in it? Don't count the time. Just enjoy the travel. So, but back to tonight's subject first. Any questions?
So you'll send out the essays as well?
Well, I sent out an email today, which many of you may have seen already, in which I was saying, if you need a printed copy of the book, let me know, and I'll order them and make sure they get here. Otherwise, I can distribute to you digitally Essays on the Gita, and what I would propose to do is then just send you an email saying which chapter we're in every Sunday, so that you'll know, and you can go to that chapter. But I think it's a book that has been popular with our friends before. Maybe everybody's got a copy of it, or maybe a digital version would be good enough. Just read it on the screen on the computer. Or digital device, as they say these days. So if any of you want a copy, raise your hand now. Here's one, okay? Okay, I'll make sure I order at least one, and we'll see if I get any more takers. And if you want a digital copy, send me an email so I know that, okay? Yeah. Next week I'm probably going to set us up for the study of the Gita. It may take a couple of weeks. To actually roll all that out, because you need to understand the setting in which the Gita occurs. Okay. Last chance for questions. Okay, we'll go and sit for our meditation. Thank you. Namaste.